the greatness of God's people, the greatness of God's people. And it's recorded in your Bible in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Surely, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word, the greatness of God's people. You may be seated. Father, we thank you again for this awesome privilege that we have of worship, and we thank you, Lord, for just blessing us with health and strength. And as many of our elders would say, a reasonable portion. There may be some suffering and going through pain, but nevertheless, you've given them, Lord, enough and the ability that they can come out and praise and honor your name. I ask that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to understand your word. And more importantly, Lord, help us to live by it, that we might be able to be godly examples and to do your holy will. We thank you and we praise you and we honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You know, this was one of the mornings that a lot of things that could go wrong did go wrong. I should have printed my manuscript out on last night, so I came to my computer this morning. I said, okay, I'm going to print it out. And my computer didn't want to cooperate. Matter of fact, the little cursor or the arrow didn't move. And I said, I got a big problem here. So I said, well, let me see what else happens. Went to the little thing, and I was going to Control-Alt-Delete, then went to Taskmaster, and I said, okay, let me just see what's going on. So I want to stop stuff. Nothing. I said, this is going to be interesting. So at one point, I thought I wouldn't have much of a presentation on the screens, but then I said, wait a minute, I've studied. I've tried to prepare my heart for God's message and to give to you. If I don't have the notes, that's fine. I'd like to just go with what God has given me. And then I said, well, let me go do something else while the computer's going through all the repairs. And needless to say, I was able to print out some things, and so we're able to get some things over on the screen. So now you're seeing that. But now this points to something in our own lives. What if something in our life is not working and God has designed it? A lot of times people think about greatness and they compare it with what somebody else is doing. Well, I'm great in comparison. But God wants us to be great because he is great, and that's a greatness that depends on relationships, not comparison. I want to ask you a question. Are you as great as you could be? You possess the potential because you know God. But the question is, could God do more in my life and through me if I were at that level where I need to be? We're going to learn some interesting things in our message today. The disciples had this question that they wanted to ask Jesus. And they had been kind of itching at it, and, you know, they wanted somebody to go up and talk to him and said, you know, which is the greatest. And so they worked on framing this thing. At one point, the other gospel writers, they asked the question, who is the greatest? In other words, which one of us is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And so they came to him because all of them had really been in the presence of God. And if you go back and you read chapter 17, Peter, James, and John had been to the mountaintop with Jesus and saw him transfigured. Doesn't say whether it's one of them that asked the question, but all of them had it in mind. Okay, Jesus, which one of us is the best? Kind of like on a football team, on a basketball team. Which one of us is the hot shot? Which one of us can really, you know, we can really do it? They were asking for greatness in comparison. And you know what Jesus did? Here's what he did. He called up a little child, set him over in the middle of them. And they had time to think about it. And they were asking, what is the master doing? What is Jesus doing by setting this little child in the midst of us? And notice the word says little child, which meant that the child must have been at the point where it had not really reached that age of accountability, you know, where they could really fend for themselves if they had to. Jewish nation has this thing of bar mitzvah. And you go through that at a certain age to show that you know the scripture and that you understand God. Jesus brought the young child to them. Could have been everything from a toddler to, say, age 7 or 8 or 9, anything in between. Brought him and set him in the midst of them and said to them, unless you're converted and become as this little child, you're not going to even enter the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine? Here it is. You're thinking you're already in, thinking you're already on the team. And then Jesus brings up the fact that if you don't be converted, which means change, you convert something, you change it. Change it from what it is to what it needs to be. Obviously, by him speaking to them, they needed to go through this thought process. All right, my greatness, is it based on my ability? Or is it based on my relationship with God? Now, so that you know, I'm not talking theory. I'm not just dealing with the whole bunch of things and just trying to explain some deep things. Oftentimes in church, we ask ourselves the question, am I greater than that one? Or am I greater? Can I sing better? Can I usher better? Can I preach better? Can I pray better? Am I better? Am I greater? So really, we've got this thing in our mind. Compared to everybody else, am I great? You know, Muhammad Ali, I'm the greatest. This is not a boxing ring, all right? This is not some sports competition. This is the kingdom of God. This is greatness in the eyes of God. Now, let's try to understand this, and let's try to look at it, and we'll get back to this question of who is the greatest, because he's going to answer them. But the first thing he does is say to them, get your mind in the right place. That little child was dependent on their parents for everything. And as much as you think of yourself, I'm grown, when it comes to God, you ain't grown. When it comes to needing him, you can't even breathe without God giving you next breath. How many of y'all agree with that? You can't really do anything about him. And it's not that God wants you to the point of where you are helpless, but he wants you to understand this relationship. That child would have no problem going to its parents for anything. Sometimes we have problems going to God for everything. And only when matters get to the point where we can't handle it, oh God, here we come. So your greatness is not based on your strength. Your greatness is based on your relationship with God. And Jesus said, your mind has to be converted to the point where you understand how dependent you are. how needy you are. And if I had to give you a classic example, the greater King David became in the Bible, the more he depended on God. And those moments that he didn't depend on God, that's when he slipped and fell. But he quickly learned, let me go back to him, repent, say I'm sorry, get it right with God because I know I need him. All right. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our nation, listen to me very carefully. Our nation is built on this belief of individualism and self-worth. Now, there's nothing wrong with you thinking, you know what? Things are going well in my life. Is that a good thought? Yeah. You don't want to be going down with your head all hung down. Woe is me. But you want to know who provided those things in your life and gave you the ability to get where you are. In the eyes of God and your relationship with God, you will always be dependent on him. Am I making sense? Okay. So let's look at this greatness in the eyes of God. Now, how many of you all would say, God wants me to be great? How many of y'all, some of y'all kind of like, well, I don't know. Life is so bad to me. I get kicked around a whole lot. I can't. But say that and watch how you feel. God wants me to be great. Now think about this because you got to understand the concept of greatness. There are a lot of you, because of life mistreating you and abusing you. As a matter of fact, Miles Monroe, and I did put that one in there. Miles Monroe said something, if you don't know the purpose of a thing, you're going to abuse it. If you don't know why you've got something, eventually you will get to the place where you don't understand it, and so you'll say, you know what? I don't know what to do with that. You have a greatness that God has placed in you, whether it's through your gifts, whether it's in your ability to relate to other people, but there's something in you that God has deposited in your life that's going to glorify him. Do you get what I'm saying? If you don't use it, if you don't get to the level where you understand what it is and how you're to use that for the glory of God, you're not going to bless anybody. People who are in the medical field, I believe they have a certain calling on their life. When they're caring for people and to have that person to say, thank you for what you've done, how you've blessed me. Think about your job and how people have come to you after years and said, you know what? Thank you for what you've done. I believe that that gives honor and glory to God. Now, if every one of us going through our task, and especially in the church, treating it as if, oh, you know, that's no big deal. It is a big deal. Because you are representing the Lord God Almighty. If you don't know the purpose of something, you're going to get to the point where you will abuse it. I love to think about young people. Pick on my young people now. A lot of times they can act grown. You ever notice that? They can act like they know all the answers, and they'll say to their parents, oh, mom, oh, dad, y'all just old. And you want to tell them, we've been around for a little while. And if you don't believe what we're saying is right, try living on your own. Try paying your own bills and doing all of these things, and we'll see how long you survive out there. When Jesus brought that little child and set him in the midst of them, he was really saying to the disciples, without me, you won't even enter the kingdom. Without your relationship with God, and unless you are converted in your mind and understand how much you need him, you will not even enter the kingdom of heaven, much less become great in it. And this speaks volumes of where we are in our day and age in which we live. You must know and understand the greatness of God. Let me give you a couple of things real quick. Understanding greatness involves understanding that God is good. And God is great. How many of y'all, when you first prayer you heard or first prayer you learned, God is great, God is good. You learned that. And that concept really comes from the Bible, where it talks about in Psalm 77 and verse 13, who is so great as our God? Psalm 96 and 4, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. God is great. And then Psalm 92 in verse 5, it goes on to say, O Lord, how great are your works. Now hold it in your mind for a second. God is great, but now it's not just talking about God, it's saying that his works are great. Psalm 111 verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. When God looked at and he assessed his work after he had created everything, he said, everything is good. God created you for to bear his goodness, his mercy, and his love. Not to compare yourself with someone else. Not to say that I'm better than or I'm less than. No, but you are among God's people and God put something in you. Can I get an amen? Amen. So there's a greatness. There's a greatness. And understanding where that greatness comes from. Understanding that God is the one that has made us great. God is the one who's provided for us. And what are we talking about when we talk about this greatness manifesting itself? The way you treat other people. Having a great attitude. Not how much money you got in your pocket. Amen? Because see, you can make it without money if you don't have bills. A lot of things in life we think we need, but really what we do need is God. And now, let me ask you this question. How many of you have had needs and you went to God with that need? You took it to the Lord in prayer and you knew that you couldn't provide, but God made a way even where it seemed there was no way. How many can testify to that? That's the greatness of God. That's the goodness of God. He didn't have to do it. Miracle after miracle. And you know why he did it. Not to say, see, I'm God. No, it was in his relationship that God loved you so much. He said, you know what? I'll give you the kingdom. I'll give you everything that I have. But you need to understand who I am and how much you need me. See, we base a lot of this thing on maturity. And how grown we can act, all right? And how dependent we can, independent we can be rather than dependent. Now, I've already demonstrated to you that you need God, right? How many of y'all realize you need God? And guess what else you need? Look around at the person next to you, okay? Yeah. And just look at them if you would say this and say, you need me. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that God made you to be great and that you depend on God, but guess what? He did not equip you with all the gifts. So that even in the context of greatness, you need the person next to you. They have something that you don't have. And if you're in a time of need, they can help you even if you don't think they can. Amen? You got to understand what greatness is all about. It's not more than, it's not the traditional definition of greatness. But really, when you talk about greatness in the eyes of God, it's talk about fulfillment, purpose, plan. His Spirit living in you, helping you, guiding you, building you up so that you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Am I making sense? All right, so let's look at something else. Let's look at something else. Now, the disciples were entering into a dangerous phase in their life. Jesus is getting ready to leave them. And if they asked this question, and Jesus had said to them, it depends on how many miracles you perform. Or it depends on how well you preach. Or it depends on how many souls that you get saved. What if Jesus had said that? It depends on the size of your ministry. Am I going somewhere with this? Size has nothing to do with greatness. Because God can use anybody. Anytime he used a donkey to preach to a prophet that had gone crazy, Amen. Go back and read Book of Numbers. It talks about that prophet Balaam, even though he was a crooked prophet, he was a prophet. Going crazy. Anytime God can use them, that lets me know, hey, it ain't no big thing about what you're doing and thinking that you're great. It's your relationship with God. Are y'all with me? Now, every one of us got this grown-up attitude. All right, I need the Lord right now. That's why I'm going to go to church. I need the Lord right now because I'm going through some stuff and I just want him to help me straighten it out. All right, now wait a minute. What's going to happen after you get stuff straightened out? As my grandma would say, where are you going to forward yourself off to then? See, your relationship with God is something that is based on something that is permanent. My mama looked at me one day and she said, one thing ain't going to change. I'm going to always be your mama. And I was going, yeah. And I didn't understand the value of that relationship. And here, young people, I'm talking to you all now. Because you're going to grow up in life and you're going to learn all these philosophies. All these philosophies. And the philosophies will either tell you, depend on God, or depend on yourself and what you can do. Now, I'm here to tell you that if there are philosophies that tell you, okay, you can do it on your own, it might work to a certain point. It might work. But what's going to happen when you get to that point where you really need the divine hand of God working in your life? Let me ask the adults this question. How many of y'all have been there? Run into a wall that would not move. Run into a situation that you couldn't control. And can I preach to you? If it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you would have still been in that mess. You would have still been in that gutter. But thanks be to God, he did not leave you He did not leave you where you were, but he brought you out of a horrible pit and sustained you and kept you. Now we're talking about, well, who's going to be the greatest? God's going to be great. That's who's going to be great. God's going to be great. Got a couple of things I want to share with you. First of all, what is the kingdom of heaven and what does greatness in the kingdom mean? First of all, humility. Jesus said to them in that verse, he said, now, except you humble yourself. You got to humble yourself and be as this little child. You ever know, and the old folks would call it shamefacedness. Some of y'all young folks get, shame what? We ain't shame of nothing. But a little child, if brought up in front of an audience, they tuck their head and they kind of do like this. That's shamefacedness. I know y'all ain't got it. You know, that's not a part of our culture. You know, y'all ain't scared of nothing. You know, get up and do whatever. But that humility is something that you have in your heart where you don't feel confident enough to do it without somebody else behind you. You know what I'm saying? It's like the little boy that they kept picking on and the older children would keep picking on him. And so his older brother told him, he said, don't worry, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. So he went out there the next day and he didn't see his older brother anywhere around, and so he kept on out there. He saw that group that had been picking on him. Then he looked around, and he saw a shadow. And his shadow was bigger than him. He thought it was his oldest brother. And so he said to himself, I ain't scared of y'all. I got some help with me. Now, when you as a child of God go into some of these situations in life, what is it that gives you confidence? It's the unseen hand of God. It's the mercy of God that you know that he will never leave me nor forsake me. He did not bring me to this point to fail me now. How many of y'all can testify to that? You didn't see him, but he was there. It's the same way with greatness. You got to have humility. Humility means we don't depend on ourselves. Humility means we don't brag about ourselves. Humility simply means that we're depending on God and his strength. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, in due time, he will lift you up. You've got to have humility. And then we talked about that confidence that you have to have. The child is confident in his parents because he understands that this greatness does not originate from himself, but it originates from God Almighty. Except you become as a little child, always believing, always knowing that that parent is going to be there to meet their needs. A child has no problem asking the parents, can you help me with this? But when we get that grown attitude, well, let me try. Let me see if this will work. Let me find out what my options are. Sometimes your only option, matter of fact, your only option anyway, is to call on God. Amen? Here's some lessons. Lesson one, humility. You must be humble. Whoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of God. Lesson two, you must have true conversion. True conversion. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. A change in attitude, a change in the nature of why we're going through something and what we truly believe in. Be converted and become as a little child. Don't become independent, become dependent on God. Lesson three, and this is the awesome one. This is the one that says, verily I say to you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, if you're great, stay great. Stay great. In other words, know who you are. Now, I am a Coleman. I guess you all know that by now, right? And you feel something about your own family, where we came from and what we are. For you to enter into the kingdom of God and become a child of God, you want to maintain that identity. And I believe that God provides that in your life. He makes us great because he abides in us. He didn't come just to take up residence until we get through a mess or until we get through a problem. God came to be a permanent part of our lives. Therefore, you've always got to know that you're in this relationship. One of the things that really, really hurt me one time is when I hadn't been to see my mom in about 2 months. And she picked up the phone one Sunday morning. I'm on my way, you know, busy, getting ready to go to church. She picked up the phone. Hey, baby. Hey, Ma. She said, I was just checking to see if your phone worked. Mine worked real good. And then she said these words, you could come see me. And you know what? Next Sunday, matter of fact, that Sunday evening, I said, I'm going now to see Mama. And don't you know, rather than give me a hard time about coming to see her, hadn't been there in a while, she made me a rice pudding. What am I saying? Greatness really depends on your relationship with God. And it's not something that you grow out of. It's something that's permanent. And while this is not one of those messages, it really is one that rings true to our hearts. You will never know your greatness until you know how great God is. You will never rise to that level of where you really appreciate your relationship with him until you start seeing what he's doing with your life. Many of us can testify, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied my every groan. Many of us can testify, he brought me from a mighty long way. Do you know why God did that? He picked up the phone of your consciousness and said, you could talk to me every now and then. You could let me know how much you need me. I've been providing all these blessings in your life. And many times you don't even say thank you. Wow. Instead of scolding you, when you do decide, Lord, you know what? You are right. He welcomes you with open arms. That's how great your God is. And that's how great you are. Because you know him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness today. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, how much we need you. Thank you for this wonderful relationship that we have in Christ Jesus, who gave everything he had for our redemption. Lord, the only way that we are great is because we know you. And we want to just love you and praise you and honor your name. And Lord, the greatest thing that could ever happen in our life is not for us to inherit some great fortune, not for us to do some great deed. The greatest thing that could ever happen is for us to know you in the free pardon of our sin. And Lord, many of us claim that today and live on that today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give the invitation of everyone today. Perhaps you may not have met the Lord. You may not know him. What a day. What a time to say today is that day that I'm going to know that God is real and that he's my God. May we all stand. Doors of church are open.